in the immortal words of Judy Brown, happiness is a choice. We're happy you're spending some time with us, Chip and Zay, right here on a Freak for All Football Friday, wrapping up the week after a thrilling college football playoff semifinal last night. Twists, turns, what, four lead changes in the final quarter? And Carson Beck, 7 of 9 on third down. He ran it in for the game winner. Couldn't believe it. He had receivers going all over. Well, they are all going to the right. And he kind of ducked out of the pocket, saw nothing but open green grass. And he strutted into that end zone like he was still dating a Cavender twin. Zay? You were right. You said the Miami Hurricanes would prevail, and they did. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Feeling good. Feeling great. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm great. We got a thriller of a college football playoff game last night. Hopefully, we get another one tonight when Indiana and Oregon face off in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl. We remember those days. We had some time at the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl.
Yeah.
Those days, you know?
Yeah, good times. Good times now. Texas is watching from afar, trying to figure out their situation roster-wise for 2026. And it's getting better. It's getting better. But, yeah, last night's game, incredible. Shout out to Miami, did their thing, and I don't think your boy Trinidad Chambliss had enough time on the field. You know, like, that dude, 18 minutes total, which, Chip, I think you froze here, but, yeah, 18 minutes, that ain't enough time on the field. Shout out to Miami, completely controlling the ball game, 41 minutes. Time of possession, 4-13 play drives. Are you serious? That's tough. And that was the right game plan for Mario Cristobal and the Hurricanes. Like, there were times this year, Louisville game, SMU game, they weren't playing to their strengths. Their offensive line is massive. And if Miami didn't have all them turnovers, penalties, it would have been uglier, a lot uglier. Like, that's the fact that Ole Miss was in the game. 10 penalties opposed to 4 for Ole Miss.
Yeah. Those penalties, how about the dropped interceptions by the Miami Hurricanes?
Yeah, well, that's at least 5.
It seems like it was 5.
Because there was one where, like, there were 3 guys around the ball, and they were just playing, like, hot potato with it. And it's just like, dude, come on, man. Somebody's got to make a play here.
Hey, Zay.
Yo, shut the hell up, man.
Bert Auburn is playing for a national championship.
Hey, yo, CB, if you would have told me last year around this time Bert Auburn be playing for a national championship in the 2025 season, I would have been like, hell yeah. Bert worked out the yips. Bert, we figured it out. Arch Manning, it's about to be a movie. Hell yeah. Not Bert Auburn going to Miami. Not even playing. Now, it'd be different if he was getting ticked. My man Bert can't see the field. And it's not like Carter Davis is that much better. He goes 1 for 2 every game. So you can't beat that guy out. But Bert, hey, he's having a good time. Ain't got to worry about nothing. None of that pressure.
You think Mario let him go out in Scottsdale last night? Or he put him on a plane?
Probably select a few.
Yeah.
There's certain guys you don't worry about. Malachi Toney, you better be there by curfew. Reuben Bain, you better be in by curfew. Akeem Mesidor, you better be in by curfew. Bert Auburn, if you show up tomorrow, cool. If you don't,
cool.
Cool. We ain't gonna need you.
They don't even know if he's on the plane or not. Has anyone seen Bert Auburn? Never mind.
Yeah, he'll find his way back.
We're good.
Yeah, them Hurricanes, Carson Beck, just don't do anything to mess anything up, man. Just play game management football. That's okay. People hear game manager and they want to diss it. If I could be a game manager and win a championship, hey, I'll take it. Ask Trent Dilfer about being a game manager. Brad Johnson on them Buccaneer teams. There's a lot of dudes that do not have a gold jacket but got that ring, though. And it's because they were smart. They didn't put their team in harm's way. A lot of those teams ran the football, just like Mario Cristobal in Miami's realizing, oh, yeah, this Mark Fletcher guy, he's kind of a beast. Hey, this Malachi Toney guy, we don't have to throw the ball 20 yards down the field. We could just give him the ball on screens and stuff and put him in motion and just throwing the ball in the backfield and he'll do the rest. He's incredible. He is so strong, man, because everybody sees Tony. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
There were a couple of plays where Ole Miss was there.
Yeah.
And somehow he just fights through and tackles, and 7 yards later, you're wondering, how is that not a tackle for loss? Should be a senior this year. He should be in this class, this 2026 class, but reclassified. And is a huge reason why the Hurricanes are playing for a natty. It's been impressive. Last night, they wanted it to be ugly. They wanted to control the game. They did not want Trinidad Chambliss to be on that field because when he was, he makes things happen. He makes things happen. So, yeah, Mario Cristobal, he's had some dark times being the head coach of the U, but what he's done this year with this group, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, and what can you say about Trinidad Chambliss, who got bad news today? He'll appeal it, but the NCAA denied his waiver for a sixth year of eligibility after playing those seasons at Ferris State, winning, you know, D2 championships. I'm like, just go. Just go get paid. You're going to be a top three pick in this draft. I firmly believe that.
But college is fun now. NIL, yeah. You ain't got to take many classes. He probably needs to get his master's since he's been in school so long.
Especially at Ole Miss.
Oh, man. You saw that girl by his mama. Was that his sister?
I was asking the same question.
Yeah, yo, I don't know.
I figured you'd have that all sleuthed out.
I didn't want to look at it too deep because I was all about business. I'm trying to dissect the game so we can give that good analysis. I let the people let me know. Y'all let me know, was that Trinidad Chambliss' sister or woman? Either way, I know her Instagram's getting blown the hell up today because y'all perverts out there, y'all going to find her homegirl. Yeah, I said it. Them perverts out there, they going to find homegirl. They going to see what she's about. Because, yeah, she was out here. Brent Musburger, if he was calling that game, he would have let
her know. Oh,
look at that right there. Trinidad Chambliss. Ooh. Yo,
That was AJ McCarron's girl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Catherine Webb.
Yeah, Miss Alabama.
Oh, wait. Oh, wait.
Yeah, we knew all about that girl after that game.
Okay, that was pass interference on the last play of the game.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, complete pass interference.
Let's go ahead and throw the flag. You know?
Yeah, run that back because what are we doing here? Like, look at him.
The guy's getting mauled.
He's getting mauled. He's trying to run to a spot to catch the ball.
Yeah.
You're literally blocking him from doing that.
That 24 takes his hand. His right hand right now is on the collar of that receiver. he takes it away at the end and makes it look like, oh, I'm flailing. But he pulled him down. Do you see that?
Yes.
He pulled him down and then he's like, oh, we're just hand fighting out here.
And I understand let them play. Like in basketball, too, they do the same thing. It gets real physical at the end of the game, which is why I always say I'd rather have someone who could get off their shot, off the dribble for a jump shot instead of driving the lane, because most likely if there's contact, the refs don't want to call it. Same thing here. They don't want to call it. When they went up to wherever the hell the headquarters was for the ESPN officials and asked him, he said the same thing. We going to let them play. I completely disagree with that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, make that call. He's trying to get to a spot. Like, of if you're holding him, of course he's going to have to fight back. Like, that was weak.
Yeah, that was really bad. I mean, he was totally blocked from getting where he wanted to go. And you know, the one thing that 24 did was he had his eyes on the ball.
He was looking at it. Yeah.
Yep. That's the only reason they didn't throw the flag, because his right hand is pulled right there. He pulls him down and then lets go. And great job, 24. You sold it just enough.
Can you still turn in calls like as a coach, even though the season's over?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because if I'm Pete Golden, whenever that opens, I don't know if there's a place to go. I don't know if it's a website. I don't know how it works or somebody you call.
He knows how to do it.
Like right when I got off the podium talking to the media, I'm hitting up whoever I need to hit up to say, this is bogus, man. We got to change that rule, because that whole narrative, we want to let them play at the end. Okay, if that's the case, I'm going to hold my ass off every time.
They were holding the whole game. Like, yeah. I felt so bad for that Ole Miss defense. They were getting held. They played the whole game.
Yeah.
They're on the field the whole game. They had to play 49 snaps in the first half.
That was a lot.
I mean, Miami had a 20-minute time of possession advantage. That's insane. That's like an hour of actual football that defense was on the field. Like, the defense was on the field 2/3 of the game.
Yeah.
And so then at the end of the game, you're trying, and then he didn't bring any pressure. Pete Golden, what are you doing? I felt like I was watching Pete Kwiatkowski. It's like, your guys are tired, so give them some juice by making an aggressive call and go after them. Instead, they're completing passes. And then on that 3rd and 7, it was the play of the game. He stopped short, but then he kind of wrestles loose and leans forward and gets that first down to keep that game-winning touchdown drive alive. That was the play of the game. And I thought Pete Golding needed to be aggressive right there. Put some pressure on the quarterback that's thrown critical interceptions at times. Instead, you had 4 tired defensive linemen not really making much of a push. And when they did, seemed like guys were hooking them around the neck and nothing was getting called. And yet Miami still got called for 10 penalties.
Yeah.
Of course, some of them were stupid, classic, excessive Miami penalties. But yeah, I thought Golding should have brought some heat there, especially on the first, you know, early in, you know, on the early downs. But still, you had 3rd and 7.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Miami's offensive line, even though they were holding, they're good.
Yeah, they're good.
Offensive line.
And they're rested.
Yeah. And Carson Beck, he had a lot of time to make some big time throws. Again, it was a game management game, but when the throws that he needed to make were there, he hit them. And that play at the end of the game where you were talking about zero pressure was there. Big 51, they're doing Big 51 wrong for Ole Miss. Because that dude, they show him, they're coming out of the timeout right before the Carson Beck touchdown to take the lead. They're coming out of timeout, and they show a close-up on Big 51. and he's huffing and puffing, and he got the gut out and stuff like that because the jersey's a little too short, and he just looks like Miami had ball for 41 minutes. That's how he looked. And, oh, boy, on that play, he falls on the ground, and he tries to get up and, you know, show some type of sense of awareness, but it was too late. Carson Beck's already high-stepping in the end zone. But that was just kind of telling for how tired they were. And that's Mario Cristobal in Miami, that coaching staff, that game plan, elite. Well,
go back to that Louisville game, right, that they lost. Mark Fletcher, who is a total dog, got 8 carries for 18 yards. Like, they, you know, Louisville did a good job selling out to stop the run early. And Cristobal just gave up on the run. And Beck ended up throwing 4 interceptions in that game. And then 2 weeks later, they lose to the SMU Mustangs. Hello, the Mustangs beat these, you know, whatever, national champions or runner up.
Are y'all going to hang a banner for that?
Yeah, maybe.
But in the stadium.
But Cristobal, he totally abandoned the run. I'm like, I'm sitting there with my cousin who was at the game last night. Unbelievable. I'm like, run the ball with Fletcher. Who cares if they stuff you? You got to stay with it because it's going to break eventually. Your offensive line's too good. Never went back to it. Back through 4 interceptions. And they looked so stupid in that game. And it was a close game. Even still, it was 24-21. Like, so you never know if Mario Cristobal is going to give you the, you know, the Nick Saban part of him or the what were you thinking part of him. Because everyone remembers the Georgia Tech game a year ago. Just take a knee. It's over. But he's trying to help a kid get some yards. He fumbles. Georgia Tech scores, wins in one of the dumbest coaching game management decisions of, you know, 2024, maybe the last 5 years. But especially now, I mean, if Miami ends up winning the national championship, you'll say this is the same coach that didn't just take a knee against Georgia Tech. But look, they are talented. Now they got to get healthy. They got to get healthy.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had corners going down. They had dudes getting ejected for targeting. I mean,
yeah,
it was a wild game.
First half, national championship, you can't play.
Yeah.
So that's – which they need to change that rule. That rule's so bogus, man. You're already throwing me out the game. Why do I need to be penalized for the next game? I'm still salty that happened with Derek Williams 2 years ago, Sugar Bowl. Yep. Him playing that first half, Michael Penix lit it up. I'm not saying Derek Williams would have been the difference in the game, but Derek Williams was better than Michael Taff that year, in my opinion. Mookie Taff had a huge jump in 2024, and obviously 2025, he was solid too. But he wasn't what we know Mookie Taff being, and Mookie Taff had to play a lot. Jalen Callon, Jaren Thompson.
Now, do you believe this? So Naaman says, thank God Texas didn't make the playoffs because there's no freaking way they beat the Aggies at Kyle Field, Ohio State, and Ole Miss. I don't know that I just blanket agree with that. The way that Arch Manning was playing towards the end of the year. And remember, those guys don't opt out if they're still playing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
They're all playing. Anthony Hill's playing. Leon Galafau's playing.
Yeah.
Taft's playing. They're all playing. So.
Yeah, I think Texas could beat anybody in the country except Indiana.
So there's your national champion.
Yeah.
Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Do they cover tonight? 3.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Dante, Dante's good. If they can run the ball, which that's a big if, because them linebackers from Indiana, them dudes mean as hell. Kurt Cignetti, them dogs, boy. What my man's name? Hardy. Good grief. Him and Fisher, they just mean dudes. And they don't allow much running to happen. You don't see much running going on. And then they play that zone. And, you know, Dante Moore, you got to be patient. He was not patient that game in Autzen earlier this year. So you got to do a lot of dinking and dunking. Like, you just can't rely on explosive plays. And he did a really good job at that against Tech. Like, there were times where you could tell he was frustrated because he wanted to push the ball up the field and Tech just wasn't letting him. But there were times where you took the smart play and checkdowns and, you know, just getting the ball out of his hands quick. And it resulted into a solid game. So we'll see.
Dave actually says Leonga LaFau is being treated like a rock star in Boulder. Oh, tell me more.
Good for him.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for all these guys. Yeah. Go get yours. Texas got its first offensive line commitment of the 2026 portal season. You're not going to go throw a parade, but Dylan Sikorsky, developmental guy, 6'4", 332 at Oregon State. He spent his freshman year on the defensive line because they were so thin on the defensive line and they had depth on the offensive line. So he played his freshman year on the defensive line. Then he switched over to offense, started the first five games of 2025, then got benched. But he started another game. He came off the bench in three of the last four. He's a developmental guy, good size, great attitude, you know, but
bench that Oregon State?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So this is, you know, is he better than Nate Kibble? I don't know. But that's the move. First offensive line commitment. You know, Texas thought they were getting the Michigan guys and Kyle Whittingham worked his magic. And so the Michigan guys are like, okay, all right, looks like things are getting cleaned up. We'll stay. And so now, yeah, the other thing is Texas has a offensive lineman from Yale, Michael Bennett. I'm like, okay.
Smart man.
And listen, if this is great evaluation and this is great diamond in the rough stuff, great. I'm not going to count it out, but it's not Joe Brunner, who's spent 2 years starting at left guard at Wisconsin or
what's he doing?
Yeah, he's still
flirting.
Still flirting, still taking visits. Cam Coleman is in Alabama today. Cam Coleman, how about this? On Wednesday, Alabama announced they'd hired Auburn's former offensive coordinator as the new receivers coach at Alabama. So, yeah, and the kid's from Alabama. So, but if you're an Auburn guy, do you go over to Alabama?
Parker Livingston.
I know.
I don't mean a damn
thing. Parker grew up wanting to go to OU.
Right.
And it was, you know, but yeah, Alabama hired Auburn's former offensive coordinator as the new wide receivers coach.
Yeah, and that don't mean nothing.
Jabbar
Jaluk got the job. Jaden Ball right. Still in Gainesville. That don't mean nothing, but definitely helps.
The rumblings are, if he wants money, he'll end up at Tech. if he wants development for the NFL and a quarterback who he feels can get him the ball, it's Texas. Because Alabama, they're transitioning to a new quarterback. A&M has Marcel Reed. Marcel Reed is... like, Cam Coleman is a deep threat. He's ridiculous at being able to get open. I mean, he's so scary. He commands so much attention from the defense. And he lines up in the slot, and he lines up outside. And then when he's in the slot, he's running these crossing routes. And he's such a big, long target. And he's got wheels. And then when he looks like he's going to run a slant, and he runs a, you know, breaks it off and runs a slant and go, defenders are falling down. Like, he, go watch his highlight reel on YouTube. There are passes where he's 10 yards clear of a defender.
Yeah.
Catching a pass for a touchdown. I mean, the kid is special.
Yeah. If Jackson Arnold wasn't dadgum awful, his numbers would have been.
Yeah. They would have been Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah.
And that's what he wants. He wants what, you know, DeAndre Moore said, but Cam Coleman's got all the tools. Cam Coleman's ridiculous. He's got vertical. He's got, you know, oven mitts for hands. He's, you know, you can see his competitive edge with the way he plays when he scores. He lets you know. I mean, he's a fun guy to watch. There's no two ways about it. I was like, the money's going to be so out of hand. Is Texas really going to go, you know, into crazy land to land this kid? Because the word is $2 million. And, you know, is someone ready to go over $2 million for 1 year? I mean, the kid's going to play 1 year and then go pro. So you got to figure all that out. But if he's like, okay, yeah, $2 million. And I like Matt Golden going in the first round. I like Big Butts, and I cannot lie. You know, I mean, I think he looks at the way the receivers have been developed at Texas, and he's like, okay, that's a pro style offense. I got Arch Manning, but who knows? There was buzz yesterday, but he's at Alabama today. So you got to think after this visit, because this was kind of, unless he adds visits, his initial plan was Texas, Texas A&M, Texas Tech, Alabama.
Yeah. We'll see. Sure South Beach going to come calling. They look fun. I'd want to go have fun with them.
Yeah, but who's their quarterback next year?
But they've been getting guys, Cam Ward. They find guys. I don't know who it's going to be. That's a good point, but.
Okay, if they land Cam Coleman, because Joe's like, so much for all in. I get it. If they land Cam Coleman, is that going all in?
Yeah, it's definitely going all in.
Yeah.
But I don't feel good about bringing in a dude that got benched on the offensive line, which you need on a 2-10 team. You're getting benched on a 2-10 team. I'm sure he's a sweet man. What's my buddy's
Dylan.
Name? Dylan. Yeah.
Dylan Sorkowski.
Yeah, Dylan Sorkowski. I bet he's a sweet guy. But, man, you getting benched on a 2-10 ball club, that don't make me feel good at all. So, unless if Kyle Flood is going to work his magic, something crazy where he could turn old boy into an SEC offensive guard that's not going to get Arch Manning killed, I got to see it because I'm not too excited about all that. So, yeah, Cam Coleman, that'd definitely be fun, but they still need guys in the trenches. The Elijah Bo Barnes thing is still on hold. I don't know what's going on with that. They still talking to him. Is he thinking things through? I have no idea.
We got kids in the portal right now who are willing to come out of the portal. But Texas also has Pitt.
Pitt linebacker. Biles.
Yeah. Biles, the linebacker from Pitt, who's a tackling machine. First team, all ACC, Rasheem Biles. And then, you know, you've been talking to some other linebackers. Are you slow playing Bo Barnes? Because if you are, it's not going to go well. He'll be taking visits in no time. So I get it, man. Recruiting is a tough game. But Muschamp and Johnny Nansen called Bo Barnes on Wednesday night and said, hey, man, you are a guy we see as a building, you know, part of the future, piece of the puzzle. And then they're waiting for a contract. Hasn't come. So, you know, are you waiting to see how it goes with Rasheem Biles?
Who's proven? All ACC player.
You need one, you know, you need a proven linebacker because you got Ty Anthony Smith and you can move Brad Spence to linebacker. But you'd like to have another proven and then Bo Barnes be part of the rotation, be what Ty Anthony Smith was, you know, a year ago, and then develop into that guy. Like Bo Barnes looks like a developmental guy that's going to pay off. Like he looks the part. Here's the thing. We saw it last night. Ole Miss had a situation, or no, Miami actually. Chambliss got out of the pocket. The linebacker spying him ran toward him and then let up right as he got there. You got to go through guys, man. You cannot hesitate. And that's what I loved about Bo Barnes is that he closed and he finished through Bryce Underwood. And that's how you have to play the game. You can't have any hesitation when you're blitzing, when you're committing to go get the quarterback in the, you know, behind the line of scrimmage. You got to go through that guy. And that's what I like about Bo Barnes, because he went right through Bryce Underwood, just leveled him. So, yeah, it's interesting day on the offensive line. And then you're waiting to see what they got going at linebacker, because Kobe Black is entering the portal. But I'm also hearing he could be talked out of going into the portal. Like, I'm telling you, these guys are getting slow played. They're tired of it. And they're like, well, I'm going into the portal. And I'm going to schedule visits and, you know.
Yeah.
Let me know. Send me an agreement when we're ready to go.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what I'll be here. Maybe I won't. Yeah.
Like that's what you have to do as a player. I cannot knock Kobe Black. You can't wait around. You got to go flirt too, because these teams, these other schools, they're trying to fill their roster up. So they can't wait on you either. You know, some teams can, some teams will, but if you want to go to where you want to go and instead have a limited amount of choices because you're waiting on Texas, that's not a good move. That's not a good move. So yeah. I understand Kobe Black. I understand Elijah Bo Barnes. Like if Texas is out here making you wait around, you cannot afford to do that because there might be just a better opportunity somewhere else. And if you find that, then you got to take that chance.
Yeah, and some of these guys don't want to leave. Like Zena Umezolo posted 5 days ago, Texas football 100. Like that was his way of saying, I'm here. Mm-hmm. And then 4 days later, he's in the portal. But he also can be talked out of being in the portal. So, you know, but Texas is flirting around. They got some guys they're talking to at the edge position. And yeah, Dave Cade Uluave from Cal is the other linebacker, high end linebacker. Like if you could land Cade Uluave and Rasheem Biles, okay.
All right.
Okay.
That's solid.
That's
solid.
That's all in move.
Yeah. And somehow keep Bo Barnes there. Oh,
right. Man. Right.
You'll take that.
Right.
With the new guys coming in, Tyler Atkinson and all those guys. Cause I let's not look at Malachi Toney as the standard. I see people throwing Jermaine Bishop's name out there. I love the Eric Henry story. Like, that's terrific. But also, Jermaine Bishop, he's not. Malachi Toney's an anomaly. So let's be careful with just thinking that every freshman coming in can have that type of impact, that Jeremiah Smith last year type of impact. There are guys like that for sure, and I would love for Jermaine Bishop to be that. That would solve all the wide receiver problems that we're even talking about right now. But Tyler Atkinson, you know, just all these big-time players that are coming in, and, like, that's a lot to put on a freshman. You don't know. You have no idea. And call me in November when the wear and tear starts to happen for their first go around as a college athlete. And they realize, damn, man, we got to play school and we got this basically NFL schedule. It's a lot. It's a lot for an 18, 19 year old. And again, I'm not saying it can't be done. Malachi Toney, I love that dude. Did you see the catch he had that he almost caught? They almost called that thing in. He almost had one toe in.
The toe was down first. But in college, it has to be the whole foot?
I thought that was in, too.
I thought that was in.
The way they're describing it, they're like, no, it's the whole foot and whatever. Give it to him. Give it to him. But, yeah, man, like I would feel a lot more comfortable if they brought in Cal, dude, and they brought in Biles. And then after that, somehow, some way, you could keep Bo Barnes. You got Tyathlee Smith. Then Tyler Atkinson, if he earns his minutes, bet. He earns his minutes. Play.
They're paying him so much, he needs to play.
Yo, don't say that, Chip. That's not good. That's not good. That is not good at all. That's a horrible way to look at it. He needs to play. They're paying him so much.
I mean, you can only pay the top 44 in your two deep. Everyone's like 105. We ain't going to 105. You're going to be paying 44 dudes the most money, probably most all of your rev share. And then the rest, you're hoping to give them enough and give them some hope. But you're going to have to take, I don't know, recruiting classes are going to get smaller. You're going to probably try to land like 8 high-end guys and 5 guys that are hungry dogs that you see something in that no one else sees, you know, the 3 stars out there, and give them some gear and a rental car and tell them, hey, your time is coming. Just hang in there. Put in the work. You two can drive a Lambo one day and hope they buy it. Because you can't, you know, the reason why I said this yesterday, said it for several days. The reason why Alabama's getting picked over, Texas getting picked over, Ohio State's getting picked over is because they have super talented second and third teamers that they can't afford to pay in the era of rev share. So Texas is going through it right now. And that's why you're seeing all these guys. These are guys who they want to keep and develop, but they're guys who were recruited by other schools who are like calling their agents going, hey man, you happy over there doing nothing at Texas? So
yeah. And you heard Drew talking about it. Drew Fabiani, he was passionate talking about it yesterday. When you asked him that question about him being a GM and stuff, it triggered Drew because he was like, it's nuts. It's flat out nuts out here. You're right. Like, if you're paying a guy a certain amount, then yeah, he has to see the field. But also, damn, if he ain't ready.
No, and I'm not saying that. I think Tyler Atkinson is special. I think he's going to be able to come in and digest. I'm not going to say he's Kelvin Banks special, but I think he's a guy who is, he can grasp concepts, he can process, and that gives him a chance to be a freshman, you know, impact guy. Because it was Muschamp always said, the closer you are to the ball, where you line up, the harder it is to play as a freshman. And at middle linebacker, you're right there. You know, the only thing closer is an offensive lineman or a defensive lineman. So I think Atkinson was a good investment. I think he's got a chance to have a Anthony Hill type of career. So I'm excited to watch Tyler Atkinson. He's my favorite guy in the class. But yeah, I forgot to mention Justin Cryer, linebacker from Florida State, from Katy, who's also, you know, visiting. So you got Kato Luave from Cal. You got Rasheem Biles from Pitt. You got Justin Cryer from Florida State. So those are the kind of linebackers people get excited about because they're proven. And now they got to go find some offensive linemen who are better than Nate Kibble.
Why do you keep going at Nate Kibble?
No, I like Nate Kibble. I wanted to see Nate Kibble play. Like, I like Nate Kibble. I think Baylor got themselves something.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
Baylor's feeling good. We talking to John today?
Yeah.
Yeah, Baylor's feeling good. They got DJ Lagway. Baylor's.
I mean, Nate Baylor's Kibble's 6'3", 330. He's the same size as this Dylan Sikorsky, and he's your guy. But he didn't get to play.
Yeah.
He didn't get those looks. And he when he was on the field, he graded really well.
Yeah.
I don't understand it, but I'm not the coach. So, you know, I really wanted to see Nate Kibble this year. That was like, okay, if y'all think Neto is, you know, he lets one bad play lead to another. I mean, can't guys mature through that?
So I'm saying, bad was he as a practice player? The Neto thing is still, it's rattling for me because with how bad left guard was all year long, for him to just be given up on like that.
Right.
And again, at the end of the day, the best move, which they should have realized from jump, Kyle Robinson, center, Cole Hudson, guard. That was the smartest thing they could have done, and they did, but it took too long for my comfort and a lot of other Texas fans' comfort. But even then, like Neto, him and Connor Stroh, then the whole Nick Brooks thing, and
no Nate Kibble.
No Nate Kibble, just 0 o'clock.
Yeah, and Dave brings up Andre Kodjo. Yeah, Andre Kodjo and Jaden Chapman are two guys who can play both guard and tackle. Who, you know, Kojo's coming off the knee, and I like Jaden Chapman and I like Andre Kodjo. So you want to see those guys stay in the mix and have a chance to be developmental guys because you've lost Neto, you've lost Nate Kibble, you've lost Daniel Cruz, who was a center. You know, if Connor Robertson decides not to come back, what are you doing? What are you doing at center? So, you know, yeah. No, Kodjo and Chapman are, you know, otherwise, you've thrown away all the developmental offensive linemen. And that's the position that both Sark and Flood have said. That's the position. I mean, they're both on the record saying we don't really want to go to the portal for offensive linemen. Well,
no choice.
Now it's happening.
Yeah.
And there are schools who value your developmental guys more than you do. So, and you're losing both of your starting guards and possibly your center. I mean, yeah, it's wild out there. I don't know that we'll know everything until after it's all said and done. Because, you know, that's when people tend to be more comfortable talking about stuff. But this is a turning point year for sure. This is the first year where everyone's having to deal with the rev share and, you know, and then if you're, because like all the talk about Cuban coming in with his money for Indiana. Okay, well. You still, you know, you're still having to do the rev share. I mean, everyone signed off on that except for like Texas Tech because they said there were things in the language of the House settlement that violate state law, which I thought was interesting. No one really knows who signed it, but Tech is on the record saying they have not signed it.
Yeah, they probably, you know, cut some corners. Mark Cuban and them. Mark Cuban probably hired some people. Like to where it's going to pay off for the players.
Well, he's got so many businesses.
That's what I'm saying. He got somebody work. Hey, just show up here. Just make an appearance here.
I got this company here. You take that company there. We'll get you a deal. It'll be fair market. Don't you worry.
Yeah, the way my man Steve Ballmer did Kawhi.
Right.
That doesn't happen with that. You remember how that was a big deal?
How about that?
Kawhi. If Steve Ballmer could cut them corners, man, and give Kawhi extra paper and not get in trouble, even though Pablo Torre was trying to expose the hell out of him, then I'm sure where it seems like there's less eyes in college football, yeah, you could cut.
You know, Steve Ballmer's like, okay, I'll donate $100 million to all you other owners. Don't beat me up about this.
Yeah. Y'all need a new computer? Fresh Microsoft computer. This ain't coming out till 2027.
Yeah, y'all get it a year in advance.
I'll need the new Xbox. This ain't coming out till 2029. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, this ain't no thing but a chicken wing. So I get Texas trying to do things, you know, as straight line as possible. But, man, it seems like these other schools – they doing whatever it takes. So,
yeah.
I still can't get over homeboy being on a 2-10 team and getting benched. That's tough. That is not good. That does not. And you know what? Kobe Black, let's get back on that just a little bit because I like Kobe Black, and that A&M game was easily the best game of his Texas career. I remember last year, 2024, when Andrew Makuba, I think, was hurt, which they didn't play the same position, but Kobe Black played a lot in that Vanderbilt game in Nashville and held his own, almost had a pick six. Some penalty that happened where it got taken off.
Yeah, but Vernon Broughton got called for roughing.
That's exactly what happened. But it just seemed like Kobe Black was never able to put it together. And then when Dallas Wilson exposed the hell out of him, seemed like this coaching staff lost all faith in him. And then he didn't get to play much in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl because he got nicked up. And you saw Warren Roberson. He showed that he got some juice in that tank. And
yeah.
Same with Kane Phillips. Like, and then you pick up Masco from Rutgers, who – it's basically kinfolk with Mark Orfe because They've known each other during or FaceTime in New Jersey coaching Masco. So just the measurements of Kobe Black. That dude under Will Muschamp's defense, I would have liked to see that. I would like to see him go through winter workouts and summer workouts and fall camp, all with Will Muschamp, where you're going to be playing a lot more man than zone. And what Kobe Black would have been able to do with that. Because, again, go get your money. If you feel like they're not valuing you, then, again, I've been saying this all week. I feel like I'm tired of saying this, but who am I to say don't go out and see if the grass is greener on the other side? But also, man, don't you want to see what's up? Haven't you established something here at Texas to where you could play the long game under new coaching, under new scheme that might benefit you? And you might beat out Cade Phillips. You might beat out Warren Roberson on reps if you prove yourself and you're willing to do that. But again, I don't know what's going on with him. All I know is he's in the portal and he's one of those what if guys that I would have loved to see here in 2026, especially playing for Will Muschamp.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, again, I think they can, if they want to work it out, they can work it out. You know, yeah. And Dave says Daniel Cruz was a bigger loss. He was supposedly the center in waiting. Yeah. I was excited about Daniel Cruz. He's got a really good low center of gravity. Those, you know, remember Mark Stepnoski for the Cowboys? Like, he wasn't the biggest guy. It's funny because he got replaced by a veteran who was a behemoth. You can do it both ways, but Cruz was seen as a leverage maestro. I wanted to see him play. I wanted to see what he could do, but he's taking a visit to SMU now.
Oh, so, man, what?
Yeah.
I'm just playing. I just want to see what you would say.
Hey, SMU beat Miami. Don't forget that.
Y'all really holding on to that, which also pisses me off too, because Sark, you got to be better than Cristobal, bro. How is he playing for a natty before you, Steve? I get it. Really? It's the ACC, and they snuck in. I'm still kind of skeptical on them getting in. They've earned it, clearly, with the three straight wins that they've had to get to a natty. But, man, you letting Duke win the conference. You just chilling at home, riding high off that Notre Dame victory. Damn it, Notre Dame just ruins everything. Just ruins everything. But, yeah, Mario Cristobal with his just horrible decision-making in the past. Here he is. And he was wilding last night, too. He was wilding last night when they won it, and he was on. They were on the stand. They were on the stage, and like you could hear the mic going through. Holly Rowe was talking, and you could hear Mario Cristobal in the back. I can't play it because ESPN, they would get us here on YouTube. But he's over here saying, "Hey, can we get some of these people off the stage and bring our parents on the stage? We got random people just standing around. Let's get our players on the stage." He's funny. He is funny. He definitely is Miami, being from the South Florida area, being an alum. He's embraced all them crazy MFers out there like Ray Lewis and Michael Irvin, who was acting the fool again. Once again, which, hey, playmaker, you got to be natty too. You kind of a good luck charm. So
Edgerrin James was out there.
Yeah, Andre Johnson, Greg Olsen. I saw Clinton Portis. They got legends, boy.
Legends. Legends. And look, Mario's smart. Mario came in. He played at Miami. He's embraced those guys. Those guys give that program street cred because they were so good that even 18 to 20-year-olds can look at YouTube and see how good they were. So that program has some street cred, you know? Oh. And Mario's using it just right.
Yeah.
All right. I see him. the general. We love talking football with our man, John McClain, NFL insider, longtime voice of reason in the city of Houston, covering the Texans, the NFL for 40, no, not the Texans for 40 years, the NFL for 40 years.
It's actually 50 years now.
50 years. Give the man his props.
If I make next season, it'll be 50. It's 50th year. And if I make next season, it'll be 50th season.
That's what I'm talking about. John, what'd you think of that game last night? We were just talking about Mario Cristobal going to a national championship game.
I thought it was an incredible game, kicking off what should be an incredible weekend. The two college games, all the NFL games, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Texans and the Steelers have the nation's attention on Monday night, the only game going. If the rest of them are anywhere close to what last night's game was, I don't think I'll be around for that 50th season. My heart can't.
Come on, John. We know you got it in you. You're a force of nature. Okay, well, I don't know where to start first. How about with the Texans? Yeah, let's start with the Texans. My Texans, my Super Bowl winning Texans. Give me your take on how they're looking, the matchup at Pittsburgh.
So you picked the Texans to win the Super Bowl, which means they'd have to win four road games in a row with this offense.
Oh, he was about to light into me.
Yeah.
He's about to take me out back to the woodshed, take off his belt and start striping me.
Once a week.
Usually we get in like 15.
A couple questions. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what I was saying about you while I was frozen up.
Yeah. So you said you were about to lay into me for saying that they could win the Super Bowl with this offense. And then what'd you say?
I said, Zay, who did you pick? I hope it shows a little more common sense.
Oh, man, it's a tough one, John.
He's been all Bills all the time in the AFC.
That's not true.
Are you switching to the Patriots?
No, I've been on the Rams train, but I'm a little nervous with that.
Well, I tell you what, I've been on the Rams all season, even though I picked Buffalo and Detroit. So Buffalo, boy, no team is relying on one player like the Bills are. They're favored. I think the last time or the only time maybe Josh Allen's ever lost a playoff game on the road was here in 2019, other than the Chiefs. And the Chiefs have owned them in the playoffs. So if they're ever going to do it, this would seem to be the time. But, boy, Jacksonville has been playing great. Jaguars have 8 in a row. Second to the Texans, 9 in a row. And I'd love to see the AFC South teams, you know, I'd love to see the Texans and the Jaguars to go to the Super Bowl. And, but I don't know that that's how it'll play out. Problem with the Texans right now, their defense has not been dominant. Now, it wasn't the Chargers when it had to be. When they played the Raiders there, they lollygagged around to a 2-point victory. And then in the game Sunday, they pulled all the starters at halftime, rested a couple to begin with. So I don't count that 8-point victory over Indianapolis. But I still think the Texans' running game, and you got to run the ball in January, especially when you're playing in the East and the Northeast, anywhere but the South or indoors, of course. Their running game has been mediocre when it's at its best. I don't think they can run on the Steelers. I don't think the Steelers can run on them. The key is Aaron Rodgers throws quicker, gets rid of the ball quicker than any quarterback in the league. He's 42. He don't want to get hit. And he throws more passes to his backs and tight ends than any quarterback in the league. He has DK Metcalf back, though. But his whole deal is getting rid of the ball quick. And when you play the Texans with the pressure they have coming from the outside with Will Anderson Jr. and Danielle Hunter, who I saw a stat while ago, that they have more pressures together than anybody in the league this year, and second to 2018. And so they get after him. But if you're getting rid of the ball so fast and you're throwing it to backs and tight ends, I know you got to get the pressure from up the middle. Tommy Togia, who came out of nowhere last year, had bounced around. They put him on a practice squad. He was like the fifth string. Let's see, they lost three defensive tackles with injury, and he worked his way up into being a starter, and he's making big plays every game. And so they need pressure up the middle. Every once in a while, they'll put Will Anderson Jr. over the center, probably just to scare him. I think I'd do that a few times in this game. But I don't see Rodgers driving the ball on the Texans' defense. I think the Texans should win. And I think that, boy, unless they turn it over in their end of the field, which they haven't been doing. They're plus 17, I believe, in turnover ratio, second to the Bears. They've got five returns for touchdowns. They've had one more wiped out. As long as the defense and special teams play the way they're capable, they don't want the offense to blow it. I do think it could bite them in the butt if they keep relying on Kaimi Fairbairn to kick so many field goals. Six against the Colts, 44 this season, tying the all-time record, and even though he missed 2.5 games. But I think they sometimes get too comfortable relying on Fairbairn.